Alleluia. Christ is risen.
The Lord.
Please be seated. And good morning. Welcome. I'm so glad you're here so that we can celebrate together this glorious day. And isn't it glorious? I mean, look at this weather. It's so beautiful. And you know, there's a bunch of little Easter eggs out there on our property so that the children can find them while we worship. I just love it when kids have fun. Isn't it great when they laugh? This is a good day. We do well to celebrate Easter because it represents a new reality. It's an old reality. It's just made so vibrant and so splendid on Easter morning that there's no missing it. It is the reality of God's love. Love is notoriously difficult to talk about. You can't touch it. It has no form. It has no heft. So how do you know if someone loves you? You just kind of know, don't you? You feel it. You feel it. And the person who loves you probably does nice things for you. Perhaps gives you good things. I have a very good friend whose husband, many years ago on her birthday, celebrated the day by giving her a new set of garden tools. She was overjoyed. It was perfect for her. It was not only a loving gift, it showed how much that man understood his wife and affirmed her. If we can love that well, how much more so can God love? If we want to know what that love looks like, all we have to do is look at Jesus. But according to the conventional wisdom of his day, Jesus did everything wrong. Conventional wisdom said, avoid the lower class, harlots, corrupt tax agents, other outcasts. But Jesus dined with them. He made room for them at the table. Made room. Conventional wisdom said, shun the sick. They're leprous. They're demon-possessed. And besides all that, they're religiously impure. Shun them. And Jesus touched them. And his loving touch healed them. Conventional wisdom said, above all, comply with and conform to those in power. Do not run afoul of them. But Jesus challenged them by their own hateful rules. Yeah, stone the woman caught in adultery, by all means. Just let the one who is innocent of that offense throw the first rock. Conventional wisdom hasn't changed much from the time of Jesus. Avoid, shun, conform, don't make waves. Fortunately, God's love hasn't changed either. This is wild love. It is love that takes risks for us, like leaving 99 that are in the pen but possibly susceptible to predators to go after one. This is love that in some sense makes no sense at all. But this is reality. The problem with reality is we just don't see it. Because love is notoriously difficult to see. too much stuff stands between it and us. These are unprecedented times, and they affect us. Political intrigue on a global level, saber rattling with nuclear weapons, environmental threats, and all of this stuff is the water we swim in. We don't even know it. Two fish were swimming along, and an older, more mature fish approached them and said, "Howdy, boys, how's the water?" And they swam on by, and the one said to the other, "What's water?" We don't even know the effect this stuff is having on us. Fear that is verging on chronic panic, exhaustion just from trying to stay current, and a lot of loneliness. No wonder we have a hard time seeing that God is madly in love with us. It isn't our fault. We're too busy surviving. God knows it isn't our fault. So God took action. The divine life gave Jesus. That's what life does. It gives. Life generates. Divine life gave Jesus, who remained utterly faithful to the virtues by which he had lived, acceptance, forgiveness, and peace, and was willing to die for those virtues. He wasn't willing to betray God's love. He wasn't willing to rescind all that he had lived for. Good Friday is love crucified, but today, love is reborn. Because love cannot be destroyed. Jesus lives. Now, how Jesus lives again is somewhat a matter of controversy. The resurrection of Christ is being debated, possibly by many of you. Those who believe in a physical body resurrection and those who say it doesn't matter whether the tomb is empty or not, because Christ was experienced as a living reality after Easter and is experienced as a living presence now. I grew up believing in an empty grave, but now I'm really fine either way. Because it is the reality of God's love that matters. It is the love that keeps showing up whenever Christ is present. Bodily resurrection, spiritual resurrection. Yeah, metaphysics on Easter morning may not be your cup of tea. Nevertheless, let me tell you about the tooth fairy. When I was a little girl, my mom and dad told me that the tooth fairy would come every time I lost a baby tooth. If I put it under my pillow, the tooth fairy would leave money for me in the morning. Money. And sure enough, every time I lost a tooth and put it under the pillow, the next day there was a quarter. That was big money. At some point, I sort of decided there wasn't really a tooth fairy. Nevertheless, there were quarters. I don't know quite how to account for them because I have no videotape of what happened. How that money got there, I just don't know. But I cannot deny the quarters. That was reality. Easter has less to do with what is or is not in the grave and everything to do with the reality of God's love. Because God's love lives. Jesus lives. That is the Easter miracle. Nothing we do can extinguish God's love, not even horrible crucifixion. We have a hard time seeing that God is deeply in love with us, but that's real. It is the quarter under the pillow. It's tangible, concrete, and on Easter, made vibrantly obvious. The reality of new life on Easter morning is the reality that Christ lives and that we can experience him in love.